Okay, 5:02, we call the meeting to order and let's do a roll call.
Loretta Broomfield.
Here.
Stacy Carter.
Here.
Kevin Latos.
Here.
And I'm Stacy Bushon from IHLS.
I'm Leslie Button from IHLS. This is what Karen says.
And as of this morning, there was no public comment. Safe to say there's still no public comment. Okay. And then let's take a look at the January 16th, 2023 minutes and review those. And then I'll take a motion to approve those.
This is Stacy, so moved.
Okay, thank you. And a second?
This is Kevin, I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. The share update.
Thank you. Good afternoon again. So we've talked briefly at the executive committee about the Aspen discovery layer that share committees had reviewed, researched, and then decided to bring forward to the membership. There is a, the last count I got from Cassie, we had 73 member libraries commit to the product. And at a total of some $51,500, I believe, is the financial commitment. We, with the vendor, we had to reach $62,500. But again, that was last week. And I don't think Cassie's done with her going around and work and meeting with networking groups to talk about it and answer questions that people may have about it. I did ask her to present at next week's board meeting, just so you all can see a little more about what it does if you haven't seen any of that material already, and also answer any questions that board members have. There was a request from the Finance and Fees Committee, from somebody on that committee, that asked if, let's say we don't get quite up to the 62,500 amount, would the general fund be willing to commit the remaining funds to make the discovery layer more equitable for all and available to all? I think that that's a conversation we can have maybe if when she's presenting it on Tuesday night, next Tuesday. But I just wanted to let you know that, like, we started with maybe five or six, and now it's in a month ago. So there was quite a bit of interest in this product. So I think it's going to become a reality. The question is who makes up the difference if we're not quite at that amount to move it forward. Do you have any questions for me about it specifically? Anybody?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know how I missed this. I think it was just last week when someone sent an email to the director's listserv encouraging libraries to jump on this bandwagon. That's the first I remember hearing about it. So I don't know how I missed it. But I'm assuming that libraries that have not jumped on can still do that. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
And I personally don't think that the pack that we have now is all that terrible. Like, I don't even remember who sent that email, but they were just really, they thought it was terrible. I'm all for, you know, making things easier for the patrons. Maybe it's just because I'm used to using it. I don't know. But is there a place now where we can actually see like a demonstration, or is there something?
Yeah, I believe the video that they used, or the slides anyway, that they used at the member meeting, that in January, so last month, at the beginning of last month, are on the share website.
Okay.
But I can make sure and send you a link.
Okay. Yeah, I can seek it out. I just, like I said, I hadn't even heard anything about it, or if I heard it, it just went above my head or whatever. But yeah, I missed.
Well, you've got lots going on too.
I also wouldn't mind seeing a link to it, and I'll
send it to all of you.
the whole kit and caboodle of us probably would.
Okay, I will send it to all of you. Thank you. Loretta, what I think it helps with, and this is again from like back when I worked in tech services as a cataloger, like it integrates all of a library's e-resources together from one authentication or one login. So if you have resources, if a library has e-resources beyond the cloud library, so if you've got other ebooks or you've got other resources, that can bring them all together so that patron is seeing like everything that's possible. So that's my understanding of how it works.
You could search in the pack and it will show you the Hoopla holdings, the cloud library holdings, and whatever.
It should. That's how I understand it. Cassie's out right now, but I will definitely ask that question. But I believe that that's the point of this. And that is what we, because it is kind of like a next step forward, I guess, in automation software, maybe not for your collection, like for inventory control, but just in general. That's why they were really pragmatic about researching different options when they looked at this, because we knew that this was likely coming. And Aspen, it's an open source software. That doesn't mean that there's a cost for implementation, but the Swan Group, which is it's a Rails resource, LSAP or Automated Libraries Group, that used to be called Suburban Library System or Metropolitan Library System, then Suburban Library System. They use Aspen as well, and they had an innovative database, so it works with different types of platforms for your ILS. Okay. So I will definitely make sure I send you guys that and that link to where the info is on website.
I'm intrigued, and I think it is good. Something that we would be interested in. I just hadn't paid that much attention, I guess.
We had a library that was interested that is not a member of Share. We're like, okay, that's a first. You have to go there first. And then she's like, okay, never mind. It looks good, but no. So right. I almost thought we got her, but no, not joining yet.
Okay. Any other discussion about Share? Okay, let's move on then to the administrative updates, accounting and human resources.
So yeah, it really is that time of year where we look at what we project as far as where we think we'll be on June 30th in terms of the budgets or all the different types of budgets, looking at large purchases, like especially like vehicles, the roof in Edwardsville, any additional updates that happen in Edwardsville, plus anything else we think we can reasonably complete in the remaining 5 months of the fiscal year. So at the March meeting is when we'll actually look at those projected numbers. Nothing's final until the auditors say so, but we're getting a much better picture of what that looks like. I'm very happy about that, the way it looks too.
Okay, cool. And what about IT?
So this is actually really good news, I believe, although we don't have enough detail yet. There's a DCEO funding or program called BEAD, and BEAD stands for Broadband Equity, Access, and Deployment. This is a federal program that is being, obviously the funds are being dispersed to states. I think there's something like $42 billion available nationally, and the Illinois equivalent of this is about $1 billion. The goal is to bring what they call anchor institutions in communities up to a minimum level of access. So libraries are an anchor institution, schools definitely are. Other community resources would also be considered anchor institutions. We're obviously interested in the library part. And what we are starting to look at internally, well, first of all, Troy Brown is our representative on this DCEO working group that's talking about how, like, it's a lot of money. And the Pritzker administration is looking to implement this, you know, over the next, well, maybe this current term for that administration. We want to be sure that when the information is available, whether it's a group kind of a grant, where whether it's Heartland can rep, and we don't even know whether Heartland can, you know, ask for funds on behalf of XYZ members, or it's each member has to apply individually. We want to make sure that our members are ready. And so that when they, if they're getting to the place where they have to complete the form, that it's as easy as possible. We're going to give you the language. We're going to give you, you know, everything that you need to make sure that your application is successful. And they, within the bounds of this, within the framework of this grant, they even look at like levels of internet. I think it's like internet speed. So if you have like, if a library has something that's the equivalent of what dial up, those have to be brought up. Those institutions in whatever state, you know, we're talking about Illinois, have to be given broadband access. And so they have to be improved. And so they're like considered underfunded or like they're not meeting the minimum at all. And then the next level for internet access is like if a library has like a access through, they have their internet provider is like a cable company or a telephone company. Those are undersourced. One is none, not at all, doesn't even meet the minimum. And then the next is undersourced, I think is the term they use. So we know from a survey we did last summer in the summer of FY21, maybe, or FY 2021, we have quite a few members that are, some that are at the, still have the dial-up access level, and then quite a few more that are at that, well, we have access through Charter, or we have access through Madison Telecom Co. or another one. So, I think that this has the potential to really help our members in being able to help their patrons and serve their patrons. You can't be a community resource if you can't let the community see the resources you have, their e-resources that you have. So that's a real positive from where I sit.
We could use this, like we have Comcast. We could use this to get rid of Comcast and use this instead.
Yeah, I think so. So like within your town, what does the school, do you know what the school district has? I mean, is fiber already in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now the school is in a different town than the library. The school serves our town, but the library is in a different town. And actually, I think they use Charter, but they do have fiber there.
Okay.
And there may be fiber at the library. I mean, because we're on the, I live on the main road and we have fiber. So.
Okay. But through, who is that through? Is that through Comcast?
Through somebody? Comcast.
So I guess it depends. I guess the question then is not the provider, but the speed that the provider gives you. So if you already have fiber, and we're testing how much I don't understand about this or not,
that's fine.
But, if you don't have a minimal level, it's something like something, you know what? I'll get that information for you.
I was just curious because I complain about the Comcast bill every month when we do our bills. I'm one of those guys, I guess.
Okay. But I think dial-up. I will find that out. I'm going to just send you guys one big email, probably with all these links in it. So if you don't have it, it's supposed to give it to you. I don't know how it helps you if you already have it, if it helps you with the cost of it.
Right.
What happened in the first Pritzker administration under something called, I think it's called Rebuild Illinois. It was like a general infrastructure improvement bill. And there were resources in there for getting that it eventually helped schools. So schools could get fiber and they would purchase it through some kind of a consortium, an Illinois consortium, and they were able to get it at a much lower cost.
Okay.
So they had the it was the build out or the last mile to get to the agency. And then they were also able to, it's quite reasonable.
Yeah,
but education
the school district may have done that. I haven't been on the school for, I don't know, 5 to 8 years. And so they have done that, but I was just curious. So
yeah. Well, and for schools, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I appreciate the information.
Oh, no problem. So, but the thing is, the challenge is the silo that it comes out of, the constitutional office in Springfield that it comes from. So education is under the governor, where libraries are under the Secretary of State's office. But this DCEO funding lives in the governor's office. So that was an easy connection. A year ago, again, in 2021, when we were looking at, we had, IHLS had asked ILA to make that a priority for legislation or for advocacy to give libraries the same level of access that these schools are getting through these consortia for pricing. And what we ran into, and there was a team that worked on it. It was never in legislation that where it said we couldn't find, no one could find the legislation. And then this included the ILA lobbyist as well. Couldn't find the legislation that pointed to it. And it kind of came down to the fact that, well, education was an easy thing because it's under the governor's office. This is not this new BEAD funding is kind of looking beyond, like there, some agencies already have this, larger communities have this. So what do we do for everybody else? And it even does, there is some language in the BEAD program that talks about at the household level as well. So they are really looking beyond your larger communities and making sure that everybody has what they need. So I'm hoping that it would be less expensive, but I don't know. And so we are trying, you know, through Troy's involvement in this work group, DCEO's work group, and he used to work for ICN before he worked for Library Systems, so he knows who we're talking about and who these people are. And he knows a lot about what our members' needs are. I'm really hoping that we can get our members to the place where either we help them to get this set up or they're doing it on their own, but they're getting to a level where they're even, you know, with other agencies in their community.
Okay.
So that's what we're hoping for. And we should know more later, maybe in the summer. This summer, we should know a lot more about what those options look like for applications. So this is stay tuned.
But this is more for speed and just like you said, to bring people up from dial up, not so much as a cost saving thing for those libraries that already have fiber. Because we apply for E-rate, we receive E-rate.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing most public libraries and schools do.
I'm hoping that they do, but not everybody does because of the strings that come with the federal funding. I'll ask for more detail from him too about what that means. We've been kind of reluctant to put anything out to our members yet because we're still kind of learning, but like about reduced cost. I'll ask him. Okay, that's all I had for IT.
Okay, let's move on then to facilities and operations.
So we anticipate the roof replacement in Eversville that will begin next month in March. We're currently at an impasse though with purchasing vehicles. So in FY 2023, we included in the capital fund budget approximately $343,000 to replace 9 total delivery vehicles. We had to spend a little over $19,000 early this year on the replacement of a van that was totaled. So like the difference between what for this older vehicle, what the insurance would cover in getting us a new vehicle was $19,000. And that was not a brand new vehicle. It might have had right around 20,000 miles, and we thought that we were doing great just finding that vehicle on a lot. This is a perfect storm of demand and low availability. There's around a 40% increase in costs for vehicles in the last couple of years. Then, you know, we're also looking at like our procurement rules and our own internal policy, and then an aging fleet. But the bottom line is, if we've got now about $324,000 left of that original amount, we aren't going to be able to replace 9 vehicles with brand new vehicles. We may be able to get 5 or 6 new or pretty new vehicles, but we won't be able to get 9. And we have there are guidelines that the state library established when we first became a merged system, where our library system and rails had vehicles with lots of mileage, like approaching 400,000 miles. And they're like 200,000. That's the threshold. If it, you know, unless it's a lemon and you just had so many problems with it and you already want to replace it, 200,000 is like where you should be in terms where they would like to see us. And because both library systems at the time had so many old vehicles, they gave us a grant to help us purchase some. Well, now we're kind of at the place where, well, we could use a grant again, but for different reasons, mostly because vehicles are more expensive. And the Central Management Services does have, it's called the catalog. So many people refer to it as a catalog, like on that database, we've been, historically, we've purchased vehicles through them before. Those prices were pretty reasonable. They were less than we would get at a dealer. We didn't have to go through because of the is it the Joint Purchasing Act? Yeah. There's another. Okay, thanks. I knew you know that, Stacey. Yeah. We didn't have to go through the RFP process to get them either. So it was easier all around. However, right now there aren't any vehicles even on there. So we don't even know, because there aren't vehicles available. There's just still this shortage. So the next thing that we are looking at, and I'm hoping that we'll have something that goes in the board packet for next week's meeting, is what the emergency procurement options look like. Because in conversations, now this is anecdotal, okay, but like conversations that our delivery staff have had with automobile dealers that deal with commercial vehicles, we've asked them, would you be willing to respond to an RFP if we put it out? They're like, I'm not going to take the time, because they only have a few items or vehicles on their lot at any time. They turn over very quickly. They're getting more for them. And there's a length of time. There's like a minimum, is it 14 days with an RFP?
It used to be 10, but I don't know if it's gone up to 14 from first to last day.
Okay.
I thought it was 10, but.
So when we still, like, if we do an RFP, we have to, you know, we have to have a bid opening. We have to, obviously, we're going to report the results to the board, and then the board has to choose. So that's like, let's say Joe's car dealer has 3 vehicles. By the time we go through that process, I don't know that it's going to be worth, that there's going to be vehicles worth it at the end, even if they do respond to the RFP. So there's emergency procurement
mm-hmm.
Options, and I didn't have time to read up on that, the details on that today, but that's what we're looking at now. And that's what we're going to around. That's kind of what we're going to be proposing to the board about, even whether or not we can do this. But I think that the board needs to know.
Emergency is for like life, health, and safety.
Okay. So it does, it's not something that we could.
Well, I can speak from my former hat. That okay. would, you know, so like if you had, you know, a hole in your roof, and to leave it open for 2 to 3 weeks was going to cause irreparable damage, then yes, you could circumvent the bidding process. But okay. Usually have to turn that over really quickly, because if they see you doing a lot of prep work, then it's not a life, health, and safety. But, you know, again, that was back in the day when this wasn't, the turnaround wasn't an issue. Agreed. Like for what okay. you're purchasing.
Right. And, you know, this might have been happening in the last couple of years, but we were engaged with or working with Enterprise. So they were mm-hmm. taking care of that, acquiring vehicles. And so we're back to the, oh, we're going to buy them outright ourselves. And this is what we're finding. So I know that Rhonda intends to talk to the state library about this as well before we propose anything to the board, because they may have other suggestions that we haven't thought of. They're just aren't vehicles available. And like, I think that when we purchased, when we replaced that van that was totaled a couple months ago, we might have, that might have been how we did that. I know that we shared that information with the board, but I don't believe that we asked anybody. We didn't go through an RFP. I know that. And we had to have it replaced because we're, frankly, we're running out of vehicles that are reliable, especially when there's delays with repairs, which is another cost too. So anyway, that's where we are at the moment. Hopefully we'll have some better, more firm information by Tuesday. Other questions or comments?
I've not thought this through at all. This is totally off the top of my head. I'm not okay. saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying maybe something to think about. What about entering into leases that you just pay out early and end up buying kind of thing? I don't know.
As a, with somebody like with a dealer directly as opposed to yeah. with Enterprise?
Yeah, that, well, that's what I was thinking.
I think anything right now is on the table.
So does the state not, the state used to have, you know, like vendors every year for the mm-hmm. whole entire year, and they're not doing that because of car shortages?
Yeah, they haven't done it. So we, this is our first fiscal year again without, I mean, we were with Enterprise for a couple right. of years. So 23 is our first year. And generally they put the vehicles, from my experience, the vehicles are in the spring or in the fall when they post them. So twice a year. So we went through the fall and nothing happened and nothing happened. And then we started asking questions like, okay, well, what do you, you know, asking dealer, there's like two dealers that we would work with that were on the CMS list. We've started having conversations with them and they're like, yeah, we don't see this happening because they're not available. Mm-hmm. And then we started looking at and talking to dealers that aren't, that don't necessarily advertise on the CMS list or not on that list. So, so it might've been a problem longer. We are just finding out this year, this fiscal year that, they're not there. And the word, the word from the dealers that we've talked to is that they're not anticipating that being listed this spring. So then we would have to wait until next fall. And it depends on, I mean, we have even looked at different vehicle types, smaller vehicles and analyzing like our routes that have a lower average of tubs. Other vehicles aren't available either. It's not just that we want the Ford Transits because that's what we've always driven. It's that they're just not, vehicles aren't available. And I think also what's going on, although this is not an area that I study, I think that there's this transition that's in the future towards e-vehicles as well. So like e-delivery vehicles don't have the mileage. They don't have the battery life that they have maybe 100 miles or 115 miles. Battery life right now, we're not quite at the place where there's the infrastructure for charging either. I mean, even if we could get those, we would try that. If we knew that somewhere along a route that's 200 to 300 miles, we knew reliably we could stop and charge. That's not there either. So I'm wondering if part of this, the availability is that car manufacturers are changing the way they produce vehicles as well, kind of in anticipation. And we're moving into a different, slightly different vehicle culture maybe, but So it's just a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. But we will definitely probably tell you more than you even want to know about vehicles by Tuesday. It's a fun memo. I'm like, oh my God, here we are again editing this thing. So, but we have to keep working on it until we can figure something out.
And there's a little bit of, did we do the right thing?
With Enterprise?
Going away from Enterprise. I mean,
yep.
You know, I was on the board. I voted for it. But, you know, hearing all this, I'm like, yeah, they were taking care of all that for us.
They were. They were.
That comes at cost. But, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, we've had that talk too. And then we're like, don't say it out loud. But it's true. You're right. It's true.
Kevin said it.
Yeah, I said it.
Now you're on the record. The whole time
you're talking, I'm sitting here thanking that. I'm like, oh, okay, now. I wonder. Yeah. Anyways, we have to deal with what we have now.
Yeah. Okay. No other discussion there. Okay. Let's move on then to membership and grants.
So the two things are related in membership. The Reaching Forward South Conference is in April. It's going to be held in O'Fallon. It's in April on the 14th, which is a Friday. Loretta is a member of that committee. Thank you very much. We're going to host a networking event the night before, because some of our members will have to travel and stay overnight for that. And we haven't had an opportunity to do anything like this for a long time. So, and actually Kevin Kelsey asked us about that one time at a meeting. I'm like, you know what? That's a really good idea. So now this is our, like, a conference that's in our service area, well in our service area. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to, you know, folks that are coming for that, we'll be able to attend. So we're going to use Dewey's Pizza, which is a company that's a restaurant that's near where the conference center is. We're not going to be able to have it at their restaurant. We're going to have it actually in the conference center. We have the funds for it. We found that within our budget. So we're really excited about that. So there'll be more information about that soon. And that just kind of goes on a theme of, like, the next conferences, statewide conferences, are also in our service area. So ILA in October is going to be in Springfield, and the school library conference is going to be in Champaign this fall as well. And so those are slightly larger organizations. So we're working on outreach to vendors, what that looks like, so somebody else can pay for it, or at least help us with that. But again, good, because we haven't been able to do this, and it feels like it would be fun to do something a little different. So that's our one piece. The second thing is, we have a librarian who's he's a middle school librarian in Collinsville, at Collinsville Unit 10. His name is Mike Heyman, and he won, or he's going to receive, an award called Those Who Excel from Governor Pritzker for excellence in education. Pretty cool. He's been a librarian for a long time. And if you were on our board several years ago, when Ashley Stewart from Caseyville came and talked about the K-Hawk Reads program, where it's a school district wide. So libraries in the district have, within the school district, have worked with public libraries. And there's like five different libraries that serve that district, or four different libraries that serve that district. They were working together to improve access to resources for students within the district. He's part of that group of folks that are pretty exciting and really interested in helping out. So it was nice to hear that he's getting this award. That's all I had for membership.
Awesome. Okay, administration.
At last month's, you could say this, Stacy, at the last month's ISLEX, Illinois State Library Advisory Committee, Secretary of State Giannoulias announced that he is including $5 million in this $5 million in the state library's budget for FY 2024 for statewide databases. I've not heard anything, maybe you have, Stacy, but I haven't, about how that's going to be implemented.
No.
Assuming it goes in. Okay.
Yeah, outside of the announcement, cool. I've heard nothing.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't either. But this, you know, this kind of goes back to the thing with IT. Like, it's great if we can make these databases available for our members, but for members who are struggling with technology in terms of access, how are patrons going to, you know, utilize these things if they don't have enough speed, if they don't have enough bandwidth? So. Also, I'm working with Monica Harris, who is the new Rails executive director. It was announced a couple of weeks ago, to set up an in-person meeting with our key staff this spring. So it was one of the collaborative projects that she and I talked about when we met in December. And we are looking at two different dates this spring, and we would meet in Springfield. So we've not done this before. It will be very nice to do. It'd be very nice to get to work with them a little more closely. So that's all I had under that.
Sounds good. Anything under OMA compliance? No. Nothing. Okay. And then committee updates. Looks like not very many of the committees met. Advocacy will not meet this month. Budget and finance met last Monday. So do we have an update there?
It was an 11-minute meeting, and but went through and approved the normal stuff. The budget looks good. We're running, you know, behind on everything. How we want to say that. We're not spending as much money as we're bringing in. So, yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Yes. Always good.
Yeah. Facilities and operations, we did not have a quorum last month, and we, I guess, won't be planning to meet this month. As is the same for membership and policy, no meeting this month.
No meeting. We will meet next month, though.
Okay. Personnel will not meet this month. And then Leslie has information on the nominating committee.
Yes. So the nominating committee actually extended the deadline for nominations for the five board positions that are open for re-election this year. So the administrative rules, you can be, if you're a library system board member, you can be elected up to two consecutive 3-year terms, and then you have to step down for 2 years, and then you can run for a position again. So this year we have a two public library trustee positions. One is Kelly Sullivan. She's not, she's decided that she won't run for election. She was appointed. The second was Chastity Mays, and she has, well, we're going to talk about it later, but she's stepped down from the board very recently. So she will not be running. Then there is the special library position. We do have one nomination for that, because Stacy Carter can't run again because she's ending 6 years on the board. And then we have a school library position. I believe it is Tiffany Draghi's. She's not running. And an academic library representative, and Sarah Hill currently is, and she is running. So we need to fill some gaps. And I'm sure that we're going to get there. There were a few more nominations that were posted on the people that nominated themselves, I'm pretty sure. So hopefully we'll have enough to have a full ballot in the spring.
All right. Wonderful. Hopefully so. Okay. Unfinished business. The first item there is the Carly office construction.
I really promise we're not going to talk about this forever, but the construction is done. They've actually started. They moved in their equipment. They moved in their meeting room. furnishings. And they actually had, I think last week on Wednesday and Thursday, they actually used our meeting room, which was just great. I was there on Friday. Their offices look good. And what is really makes me really happy is that our meeting room looks just like the staffer that I was talking to. She's like, it's like, we only have 10-year-old furniture, not 30-year-old furniture in here. So it looks like, you know, kind of reasonable that we would have this. And so the space looks really, really good. We're still working out making sure that everybody knows how to use their meeting room technology. But other than that, it's all good. So we have a short presentation for Tuesday's meeting to show you all what it looks like. It's very nice.
Okay. Automatic material handler, next steps.
So on the 3rd of February, we went, several members of the working group and some of our staff toured on AMH at the St. Louis County Library's main headquarters. They have a new collection center just west of their old headquarters. It was really helpful to see the equipment, and also for like the group as a whole, just like, I'm not sure that the folks at St. Louis County were really thrilled we were there so long, but like to have a conversation like, oh, this is what I think it would mean in my library, or this is how much. So one of the conversations had to do with receipt paper and, you know, like more of the practical, how this would actually impact their library. And we do also have on our website now an AMH section that's up. And there's a short video of that equipment, like how it's running at St. Louis County. And also we were able to find like, I think 4 different vendor videos online that we could just link to. So if somebody would like to see what it looks like, they can. Then last Friday, we were at Champaign at Champaign Public Library to look at their equipment. It's a different vendor than the one in St. Louis County. And then this Friday, we're going to Decatur Public. And so I think it's a good, kind of like a good way to bring the group together and to talk about, because we really have to see what it is we're discussing to know what it could mean for everybody. So we're making progress in that area. Definitely making progress on that.
Cool. Leslie, I did get to meet, does he go by John or Jonathan Becker?
John.
John. I did get to meet him. He came and delivered here on one of the routes.
Oh, good.
But I've yet to sit in a meeting with him or really sit and talk with him any. I'm just curious if he is as enthusiastic about the machine as Susan was. I mean, is he fully on board for this? Do you know?
I think he's, because he comes from a different industry. I mean, he's worked in social services. I'd rather not answer that question in this meeting, but I can answer it by email. How about that?
Yeah,
would that be okay? I don't want to make it something that sounds disparaging.
I just know that Susan was just really gung-ho, really enthusiastic, mm-hmm. and all in. And
Rick Meyer from Decatur Public Library is somebody who's all in and very excited about it. They've had it for quite a while.
Yeah, he is. We talked to him after ISLAC. So when we were in Springfield. Yeah, he had lots of questions. And Carol, is it Zeiss or Zeiss that's in their circulation department is on the working group. So yeah, they're pretty enthusiastic about it. I'll respond.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Okay. Next item is under new business 2023 operational plan review.
So we've started looking at we're about to start drafting or submitting portions, the operational plan for FY 2024. And the first part of that is looking at where we are with this year's plan. I mean, the big pieces are the website is finally done. So that's a yay. We can say that's done. But in the process of devoting three people's most of their time and energy toward the website, other things aren't happening. So it's good to always take a look at that and determine whether things are going to be delayed till the end later in this fiscal year, or we're going to move it to next fiscal year. I think it's all good. I also think that as we're looking and as I'm reviewing everybody's comments for FY23, I'm thinking about the information that was shared in the Secretary of State's transition report and how we can position. I mean, there are things that we're already doing that address the things that are listed in that report, but are there additional things or are there tweaks that we can make going forward in FY24 to address the needs that were identified in that report? So this is actually a very exciting time to be putting, you know, plans together. So we're pretty excited about that. And again, like at the March meeting, when we've kind of created this document that looks at the budget and the operational plan side by side for the current fiscal year with, you know, just observations. So that's something that's in the hopper that we're working on already.
Okay. Seems like it's always that time of year.
I know. I feel like I say that a lot, don't I? It's just we have a couple of cycles within our year, right? Our fiscal year. And definitely the planning cycle is probably the biggest, I think.
I think it goes from audit cycle to planning cycle. Audit cycle to planning.
Probably audit and like annual report, right? Everything that we did the year prior. So, yeah, lots of, but it's all good. And
Okay. Next item, open board position.
Right. So Chastity Mays tendered her resignation about 2 weeks ago, I believe. And I, for a couple of reasons, I mean, it was personal reasons why she did it. So I don't know what her specific personal reasons are, but like her position was up for election anyway. So best case scenario, we would have somebody appointed. Okay, it's possible that Josh will reach out to the name I gave him and have somebody that can be appointed at the February meeting next week. Or we could have somebody for March, April, May, and June. So it's a shorter term. And that way it's kind of a good thing because we're only asking somebody to commit for 4 months. So I did give him some suggestions, and if those don't pan out, I have a couple more ideas of people to fill that role. And I know that Josh would like to fill that role, besides the fact that he's sad that Chastity won't be able to continue being on our board. So
now, would this person be, can they run for the position then for next year, or is it going to be too late for that?
Yeah, it's the timing isn't, unless for some reason the nomination, the Stacey Bouchon is it this week that it was extended through for nominations? Do you recall?
27th.
Okay, so the board meeting is on the 28th. Yeah, that's not good timing. We've never had I don't think we've had it in the last 11 years where we haven't had a nominee for each open position. Maybe one time we were short one. And it would have been a public library trustee because those, I think, are the harder people to reach. We don't know who's a trustee at every library, like we know who is a director at every library. And the majority of our board has to be public library trustees. So that's 8 out of 15. This is the one that I wish we knew more about who was on each board across the state. We're getting better. We're getting a much better look at that. And especially through the trustee training grant that we have. So, but yeah, it's kind of hard. So but we could also, though, the board could decide, let's just say that one of those positions had no one to run. You could have a write-in. Somebody right. could go as a write-in. The board could also say, okay, now we're at July and we'd like to appoint John Smith.
Right.
So it's not impossible. It's just, yeah.
Okay. But aren't we finding from many public libraries that they're having trouble? I mean, that's what I'm learning from ISLAC. They're having trouble finding people, and especially ones that are appointed by mayors, that they're like constantly having at least one position open.
Yeah, yes. That's what we experience for sure. And then you end up appointing somebody who, you know, okay. They're willing to take time to be on there, but they really don't know anything about being a trustee. So.
Yeah, I think that this, and I think this all kind of goes into, this isn't on our agenda, but our trustee training grant is, it is a statewide grant. And if our members are having problems, it's like threefold in terms of members in the rail service area. Finding people that want to run, people that are interested in running and serving on a board. And so what the state library wants to achieve is to make sure that those folks that are on all these public library boards statewide understand the role that they're taking on. What are their responsibilities? Right. And then how do they function as a board? So I think it's good that we're at this place where we need, where we're actually working on this. And we did find, I don't think the numbers actually we so Kevin, you, this will be a good test. You may get, or you should get an email from about this grant, about training for trustees, not maybe specifically about the grant.
Yeah, but like, I'm actually on the committee.
Oh, you are? Okay, never mind. You know more about this than me. Okay. I'm one of Anna's committees.
That, yeah, I am on the committee. And I mentioned it to our board this last month. And I have to say, I was surprised how many seemed really interested in it.
Good.
And so, because sometimes people just don't want to take that extra time and do those things. And so I think it's great.
Good. Yeah. So we just sent that first survey. It went, I think, out today. We had 1,000 names. I think there's probably more trustees across the state. Mm-hmm. We thought that that number might be a little low, but we're really, I mean, we'll see what kind of feedback we get. I'm hoping that we'll get some good feedback from that survey.
That'll help us design it. We got that today, and then I got our vice president, she forwarded a copy to everybody on the board to say, in case you didn't get this,
good,
you know, it is, you need to do it. So, that did come out today.
Awesome. Good. So, yeah, we, that's what's encouraging as far as, you know, making sure we have folks that not just can be on our board, but more importantly, can be on all of our members' boards. So.
Yeah. All right, I see that we do have the February 28th agenda up on our screens now, and that's the next item up here.
So I'm just looking at my copy. Nothing, I mean, the things that are gonna be new for that meeting are already, I think we've already talked about a report from about what the Carly offices look like, another update about the AMH, because I think we need to keep updating the board. Maybe we'll have a new, right now I've got it down as information. Maybe I should make that an action item. I don't know, ask for the new replacement of that board position in case Josh has somebody at the time of the meeting. Then a presentation about Aspen Discovery, and then agenda building. This is a slower month. Next month won't be like that. And then April, May will just be like, and June will be like lots of stuff for the board. So are there things though that you all would like added or changed?
I can't think of anything.
Me neither.
Oh. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Still no public comment, I'm assuming. And then announcements.
Stacy Bouchon sent out information to the board list twice now, I think, about the ILA trustee training series. It's the first Saturday of March, April, and May. We budget for this for board members to attend. So if you would like to attend, please reach out to Stacy and she'll do a group registration. I believe the sessions, are they like 1 or 2 hours, Stacy B? They're not really long. They're online. Yeah, I think they're about 1 or 2 hours. So not a lot of time commitment, but it is on a Saturday. So everybody's time is.
But it is online.
It is online. Yes. Yeah. So yes. That seems like the way they're going to go. And also next week is the first of the two ILA. The new version or this year's version of legislative meetups. It's tomorrow. What am I saying? So hopefully some of you are registered. And one is ready, set, or get ready to advocate. And then I forget what the second one is called. One is this week and one is next week. It's been a busy week already. That's all I have. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any announcements? Okay. That takes us to the end. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
In Karen's honor, I make that motion.
Okay, thank you. And a second?
This is Kevin, I'll second.
Okay. And is Stacy, are you here to do a roll call? Maybe not.
We can do a voice.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can now. Oh,
okay. Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.